Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, you and I are joined by super special guest. Haven't spoken to him in quite some time in this forum. I get the occasional bleep yeah text from him every you know other day or so over the course of this playoff from Chris Geeter McGee. How you doing, bud?
I am doing great. Still basking in all the glory. You guys are so big time now that it's just tough. Please. Like Pete doesn't call me back, which I understand. Yeah. Anthony takes 3 days to text back. So I got you guys something. Anthony, this is for you.
Hey.
Sign a picture. It says to Anthony, playoff Rondo is a thing. Race it, Geeter.
This is a picture of Geeter smoking a stogie cigar.
Yeah, the picture of me. And then There's a picture of me holding the ring, and that's to Pete, and it says, "What's up, Laker fans?" Because I want the biggest "What's up, Laker fans" ever in his next video. And Then it says, "We mother effing did it."
Yes.
And I also have real presents. I also have real presents for you guys. You guys know about the Hoopery. They do great shirts, sweatshirts. This is the Kobe one. My man Jeremiah, he's got the, you know, shoot hoops, not people campaign going right now. I told him I was going on. He wants to send you guys a couple of shirts from the Hoopery just to say thank you for having me on and for being who you guys are. So we're going to get sizes and addresses, and they're going to send them out to you guys. So that's my gift to
thank you
to
so much, people. Geeter. What a way man. To open up the show, man. Wow.
Good Lord. It's nowhere but down from here. We'll go ahead. I'll make sure to spread the word of that campaign too. It sounds like a great one. I actually wanted to start with this, Geeter, and this is me just kind of joshing you a little bit, but the Spectrum curse is over.
That's right.
I'd be lying to you two mother effers if it wasn't weighing on me a little bit. And if you knew how many times Clipper fans came at me with that, and I kept trying to say, dude, even my high school buddies are texting me that. And I'm like, dude, these are supposed to be my guys. And I'm like, dudes, I was a reporter for the Lakers when they beat Orlando and Boston. No one cared about that, guys. No one cared about that. Monkeys off the back.
Listen,
since you guys became famous, the Lakers had no titles.
So stop it with this, Geeter. Stop it with this shit. Come on, man.
For one thing, I'm not famous, so that thing definitely doesn't hold. No, I this remember fucking specifically.
I remember Harrison wrote an article about signing Pete. The Lakers have lost since signing Pete is one of my favorite things of all time.
Well, all right. Well, Pete, let's go ahead and analyze this. Like, between you and Markieff Morris, which was the bigger addition, do you think, down the stretch?
Stop. Geeter, it is good to talk to you, man. You are a one of a kind human being, man. Yeah. Love you too.
Hey, listen, honestly, though, man, like, all joking aside, like, you know, I just take great pride in you guys as friends and just watching how far you guys have come. And I've told you guys this on the side. You guys blew up for a reason. It's because you're great at what you do and you have a passion for what you do. So I'm your biggest advocate. I'm fan. So for me, this is just fun to come on, talk shit with you guys, because we've all gone back and forth. D-Lo,
for
Lonzo.
Sure.
I mean, it's been years of like loop.
The text messages, the group texts.
Yeah, me trying to defend
that would be
my
fun to look back on that. It'd be fun to like read back on that as far back as we can go.
Totally.
I kind of want to pick it up right from there, though, because like, this thing has been a long process. This has been, you know, the Luke years, the D'Angelo Russell years, the Byron Scott years, the Ronnie Price years, and then coming to here. I'm just curious, Geeter, you're in probably the best position of anybody that I know to kind of document that entire process. So for you, sitting back right before you're taping the post game show of the Lakers having just won the 2019-2020 title, what's running through your head? Like, what's the first thing that you're getting ready to roar to the clouds in that moment?
Don't get emotional. But honestly, it's crazy, you guys. If I could take you back a little bit to Friday night, everything in my gut, everything in me as an athlete, as a coach, as a broadcaster, just everything in sports led me to believe they were going to win that night. I was so confident. And there's champagne and there's poppers on the desk, and there's a lady in there taking photos, and everyone's ready. And you guys have been there before. I have my notes and I'm getting ready for a post game show. And usually I have bullet points, and I look down and I have nothing there because I'm watching this game and not sure where it's going to go. Like if they win, we're partying for 3.5 hours and you're not talking about the game. If mm-hmm. they lose, you're talking about the game. And so when they lost, I'm like, I turned into like a loon. I'm like, get that off the desk. Let's go. Sit down. Dig. You know, I'm like out of my mind.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to Sunday when you can really soak it in and you're up by 33.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a title and you start to like, think about all these, I don't know, guys, like I really did think about everyone. I thought about people that started the network when it was Time Warner Cable Sportsnet back in the day and hired me. I was thinking about everyone that worked there, all the Laker fans along the way and people that moved on to other jobs for whatever reasons. Think of former players, coaches, you guys know a couple of my friends were on that last coaching staff and even before that. So I think of everyone kind of involved. And then I think about where we are and what this team went through. I think of Kobe, all those things. So for me, I just kind of came on air and I mentioned everyone being a part of it because I really felt like you guys included, you know, we've all been through this, the ups and downs. And that's the beautiful thing for me. I've always tried to teach kids that I've coached, my own kids, teams that I've been on. That was what I always preached. Like, listen, man, you go through this shit together. Mm-hmm. And if it was easy, everyone would do it. And yes, we're spoiled. And yes, it's only been 10 years, but those were some brutal 8 to 10 years. And I said it on that little rant I had before the finals, like, I was the first face you would see after 17 wins and 19 wins and 21 wins. So that monkey was on my back. So I felt, I don't know, man, I just felt this relief. I felt this joy. I felt this like, wow, we're here. Like I'm hosting this show that I've dreamt about hosting and here it is. Don't F it up. So it was an amazing feeling. It was a great 3.5 hours, man. I mean, Magic called in. It was just Rob's on his couch calling in. It was just a surreal moment. The only thing I keep going back to, guys, and I know I talk a lot, so I'm sorry, but
no, go for it.
The only thing I keep going back to, there was only one, the sadness in there for me was that we weren't all together, that we weren't all at Staples hosting that show with this stuff coming down or everyone enjoying it. My kids didn't get to see a playoff game, like whatever it was, like Kobe, all that stuff was in there as well. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it because it definitely was there for me. It was part of the emotions that I felt, guys, for real.
It was, and this is coming from an organization that beat the Boston Celtics in 2010 after losing just 2 years prior. And you know, there was the Gatorade bath on Doc this is probably pretty easily the most emotional championship I think this organization has ever really gone through with everything that you're talking about. And just being able to go through that process and identify the different steps along the way that finally got us to there. Pete, have you been able to kind of formulate a better contextualization of where your head is at, or is it still kind of mush?
My brain is in mashed potato right now. I keep telling you this. It is. Absolutely, like I've drooled on myself more than I've cried or processed anything. Now it's just like bleh. That's just the entirety of. But this goes to the. I actually had a question for you, Geeter, in that to me the Spectrum coverage, and this is before I had anything to do with it, I'd put it up against any of the national coverage easily, right? It's the best regional sports coverage of any team. And everything is really top notch. And like you said, I remember on one of the bloggers nights that I came down, we were playing the Houston Rockets 1 year. And that was, I think, our 17 win season. And Marcelo Huertas was our starting point guard. We were down 40. And I remember James coming into the room like, man, we still got to do this, right? Like, we still got to do this show. And what was that like in terms of, so that's something I would love to know the mood of just the entire Spectrum set. Cause so many of the people there from AJ to Dave to Big Game to Ori to just like that, that's a crew, right? Like you guys have been around for a long time. What was it like that night just for everybody in the studio? What was the mood?
Dude, control room, people in the newsroom, Pete, like so many people involved. We're the faces that people see, but as you guys know, cause you've been there, there's a huge gang of people. And it was just there was this happiness from like people who are like in their early 20s, guys that like are from other cities but have been working here, and just them like never feeling this, being a part of something like this. It was emotional. We have a picture, man, everyone in the studio spread out as best we can, wearing masks at the end that I'll show you guys. It's just incredible. Everyone's coming into the studio after the 3.5 hours. They're taking pictures with the trophy. You know, we had that 88 trophy there because Big Game won the MVP that year. So we thought it'd be cool to have it the entire run. And it was just, it was for me, I kind of sat back and it was just really fun to see some of those people never have that feeling before have it. And I don't know, I felt some like pride and some ownership and listen, man, I appreciate your kind words about the show. It hasn't always been perfect, but one thing I've always tried to tell people is, man, they work hard at a national level there. Everything we put out, there's effort, there's a reason. And those first couple of years were hard, you guys, because you got to remember, we were a new network, your partners with the Lakers. So we're having rough years. We're trying to be critical, but not bury people. And fans want you to be honest as well. So we had to learn how to walk on eggshells, get through that. And it wasn't until about year three where I really felt we started to find our sense of humor, started to feel more confident in critiquing. And that took time. And I hope people understand that. You know, it was funny, guys. I almost tweeted back, and you guys know the old Gear would have, because you guys were right there with me all those times. But someone had tweeted after to me, after Danny Green missed that shot, how me, James, and Rob, me, okay, that's fine, but James and Rob, there's 10 rings there, lost all credibility because we didn't bury Danny Green. And that's where I had the first feeling of like, I hadn't felt it, guys, in a long time because we've been so good the whole year. Yeah. Where I was like, mother, okay, yeah. Chill. You know what I mean, Pete? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Chill. Oh, yeah.
3-2. So all of that kind of came. I don't know. There was a part of me, guys, in that post game show, like I wanted to stand on the mound and just be like, suck it to everyone who ever came out. But like, you know what I mean?
Geeter, this is the most gratifying championship. I was saying this yesterday, just like, absolutely. this was our like suck on that championship, right? Like all the shit y'all talked, all the things you guys had to say. Yeah, exactly, man. I feel you.
So all that, man. So for that crew that had been a part of everything, you know, it's tough to put into words. I think, you know, you never thought it would be under these kind of circumstances. And that's where I think the last couple of days, you know, listening to guys on the radio or podcasts or people coming at me and oh, it's a sham title or an asterisk title.
Oh, please.
I don't know, man. Like you're almost telling on yourself, Pete, Anthony. You're almost telling on yourself that you never played a sport or you don't know how to compete, because anyone who's ever been in anything in life that matters, like, dude, winning is hard, dude. I'm not saying it's the toughest title ever won, because every title's tough, but it's the most unique. Mentally, it's probably the most brutal. Like, dude, 92
That's why it is the toughest title ever won, Geeter. That's why it is, man. I saw video. You see that video of AD getting street tacos in LA? And he just has this like giddy look on his face because of course he's a champion, but also like, I get to go outside. He's like, I'm not going back to Disney World for a couple of years. Just think of how mentally taxing that whole thing is. The season was over a year long. It was over a year long. This was literally the hardest championship.
Even before AD went to get those tacos, you saw them walking off the plane. Kuzma's raising his hands like, oh my God, the LA sun.
Right.
No more Florida humidity. We're out of there. It had to be incredible.
People think because you get paid a lot of money and you do what you do, that it excludes you from having any sort of human emotion.
Yeah, you're not a person anymore. Yeah.
It blows my mind and it bums me out. It's just the reality we're in. It's the world we're in. And it's just funny. Like, I have a buddy named Christian Fourier. He played tight end for the Patriots. He won a couple titles with, big stuff. So we call him Big C. He went to high school with me at Crespi. So he's been living in Boston forever now. He's a Patriot. He has a radio show. He's the lone Laker fan out there. And he's got other radio guys like coming after him, calling the Lakers win a sham, the title sham. It's so funny. So I'm helping him out on Twitter and we're texting back and forth. And I go, dude, just go down your guy's timeline 3 days. The guy's like basically calling the Celtics game 7 victory over Toronto the greatest win of the decade. Yeah. He's talking about the Miami series. He's almost in tears when they lose, saying, I am now a Miami Heat fan for the NBA finals. Literally a week later, he's like, this is the biggest sham. So to me, it's like, people are so bitter. Bill Simmons can't stop.
Oh, it's so great. Oh, I love it. Well, it's like It's like Cheeto dust on your fingers, man. I just want to just, this is great.
If we're talking sham titles, like this one featured black players. Like this one's, that seems kind of important to point out when we're talking about.
Are we back?
Yeah.
Are we back?
Yeah.
We're
okay. Good. Yes. But I also kind of want to segue over. So you've done this show with James Worthy now for, what is it, 7 years that you guys have been? I mean, even before then, too.
This is our eighth season, guys.
Eighth season.
8 years. Yeah. So 8 years. Yeah.
I recall, you know, during those down years, I would tune into the post game show and you would go to James on some question about like how Ryan Kelly was playing and he would just kind of lean over his table, you know?
Oh yeah. The Worthy lean. Yeah.
He would just kind of like lean over
one
his table.
Forearm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And his hands in his head. Yeah. And he's just going, oh, you know, he grabbed like four rebounds and.
You know, remember the Worthy rants? About,
yes. Yeah. Yo, James was struggling. James would go from like defeated to like these fucking guys, man. Yeah. Like, just and he couldn't say that because exactly what you said, Geeter, right? Like you guys had to learn that line and Worthy's a Laker forever, right? But
you know what, Pete? That's what's beautiful. I'm so glad you brought it up, Anthony. I can't believe I forgot to bring that up on air in 3.5 hours. I am so pissed at myself. Like the Worthy rants. The Worthy rants were a thing in like year two or three. It was kind of when we became a little more comfortable. And basically my boss was like, yeah, like I would just tee him up and he would go and they would go viral. Do you remember?
I recall like his rants were great, but I just thought when like the most honest I ever saw the show get was when he would just start counting, like you would throw to him and he would just throw like the box score at you is in a way to just say, if I say anything more, I'm going to get an FCC fine. Like if I say anything. And so I'm kind of curious, like you go from that. Yeah. And it was so much of that is the thing. It was, you know, for your guys' 8 years together, there have been exactly one great season. Well,
you know, I'll put it to you guys this way. I feel like the shows were easy this year because it was about the basketball and the winning and not the drama and the bullshit, if that makes sense. Yeah, I think that was the most enjoyable thing because honestly, like I remember Kobe's final year. It was about that. And we had that glorious send off with the game of all ages. It felt like we won a championship that night. And then came the Luke years, which, you know, I was really invested in, but also it was like D'Angelo, B.I., Lonzo, Julius. So like I was attached to those guys and I wanted it so bad. And I saw a lot of positivity and a lot of times I got critiqued for that, but I saw like the 36 wins 2 years after getting 17. So I felt like we were on our way, even though I knew like you need something else to win, right? You need stars. Sure. But we were all on board with that. So I feel like those years were frustrating, but because there was so much like everyone wanted it now and we were all so frustrated and I felt like I had to defend so much. So it was frustrating, but yet I was still involved and I was enjoying it. But you can't compare to this year. Like you can't compare the feeling of being back on top and talking about the defensive adjustments that they made or who on the bench stepped up or what they're running as the OTAs and how they're, whatever it is, like LeBron with the ball in his hands, wondering when is Rondo the other playmaker we need, like all that stuff, basketball stuff mattered again. And I know for you guys, that's everything. But like for me, man, it was meant a lot too, because I could really focus on really what I love, you know, that makes sense.
Pete, do you think this whole, that stretch, those 7 years made Lakers fans better, like a better fan base, do you think?
Yes.
That's a good question, man.
I do. I think we had to root for a different type of team. Like Geeter said, we were all invested in the young core, right? Mm. And with also the knowledge and understanding for the most part that 20 and 21 year olds don't win championships. They don't really get to the playoffs normally, right? And they're going to do a lot of dumb shit along the way. And you understand that's part of the process, right? But there are some nights where they're in the midst of that, doing that dumb shit where you're just like, and when you're Laker fans and you've watched so much great basketball to compare it to, just the patience level is not always there, right? And we've also been so blessed with Dr. Buss, right? And the legacy, like everything to me, everything that the Lakers are, he's the wellspring, even still all these years later, that everything comes from and that understanding that having great leadership is not a given. We grew up with Jerry Buss and Jerry West and Pat Riley and Phil Jackson, and that is not amazing. Guaranteed. And we saw how things can go sideways if you're off track in that respect. And so seeing not just the success of the team, but the cohesion of the leadership, I think that Laker fans, I think we have a different appreciation for it because we've never gone through lean years like that. And I do think that that's made us appreciate every step of the way for this title more than any other one before.
Because Pete, you bring up such a great point. It's like everyone needs a dose of humble pie at some point in their life, where you have to rethink your plan, your journey, come back down from your high horse that we're on and go, okay, let's look in the mirror. Here's where we're at. Here's the reality. How do I get out? Let's do it together. It sounds cliche, but it's let's get to work. And you know, for me, I don't know how you guys were, but like over the past few years, like it's just, I don't know why I took it so personal. Well, you guys know why, because you know me, but I just took it like so personal. Like, oh, D'Angelo Russell's good now. Oh, look at Ingram when he gets away from the Lakers. Look at Jordan Clarkson. I'm like, dudes, you guys weren't watching. They did it for us too. They were just really young and did it not all the time. So like, yeah, they're in year four now, year five or year three. Like yes. they're getting Dude, don't blame the Laker organization. Yeah, like, right. Dude, we saw D'Angelo drop 38. We saw B.I. for a 10-day stretch go 26-7-7. Mm-hmm. Julius Randle was great in his last year for us. So I think it drove me crazy. Like, so I think all that, now we are where we are because you really, the beauty of LeBron is everyone will say, man, what does he leave in his wake? Like when he leaves a team, well, yeah, he knows what it takes to win. What it takes to win is look at the team you had around him. Vets, some that never play but are great in the locker room. Guys that understand roles. Guys that are there for one thing, to win. Alex Caruso, a Markieff Morris, Dwight Howard on a contract where he says, don't pay me until January.
You know,
yeah, I mean, you know. Pete, 5'3 Pete. What a signing, as Harrison would say. You know what I mean? But like all that, that's what a winning team is, dude. It's not a bunch of 21, 22-year-olds. As much as we love them, they're going to be great. They are great. I love those guys. But this team that LeBron has, man, the leadership, everything about it, Frank Vogel's staff, all the way up to the top. They did a phenomenal job. They all deserve props.
You have a nice spectrum, I think, has done a great job at finding Lakers players, former Lakers players with voices, with, you know, who say things that the fans know, want to hear. Hold on one second. So Spectrum has done a fantastic job, I think, of finding former Lakers who have great and knowledgeable things to say. And I think also, I think just as importantly, are very good at contextualizing the moment. That's been something that I really try to focus on this season, is really try to take everything into account to really understand what all is actually happening in front of me. And I'm kind of curious, From the guys that you've spoken to since the Lakers won a championship, who has most enjoyed this championship, do you think? Like, who do you think has really sat back and really basked in how cool this was?
Hard to choose one, because honestly, I really think they all love it for so many reasons. Maybe they're different reasons. Maybe they've been through the grind with us. Maybe because of Kobe was a close friend of theirs. You know, I know like Luke and Meta, Farmar, guys that I've talked with, there's just this special feeling for them. Plus they were on the team the last time.
Yeah.
You know, but James, like, just, I don't know, man, like he just had a different pep in his step when we came back from the bubble. Like he was outside smoking his cigars, watching games in a tent, coming into the studio, standing up because he wanted to be socially distanced. And he just had this fire about him and he wasn't getting tired and he was just excited. And I think it weighed on him these last, you know, bunch of years, you know, watching his good friend Byron go through it. And he was part of the staff and just going through so many ups and downs and people along the way that he was close with no longer in the organization. And, you know, I'd have to put him at the top. I know Fish, Rob, it's special because, you know, they both wanted to be there on closing night. And for me, that tells me something.
Yeah.
It's not like every one of those guys need to work or they're dying to get in there, but the fact that they all wanted to be there on that night and they wished it was their game, it just goes to show you, I don't think you have that anywhere else. I always go back to a guy like Caron Butler, and I appreciate Caron for who he is off the court. This guy is one of the most amazing human beings. Absolutely. I don't know if you guys I think you guys got to spend a little bit of time.
Yeah,
with
I got to spend a little time with Caron. He's
I mean, honestly, guys, like one of the most real dudes ever. And I asked him that night, like he was with the Lakers a short period of time. Yeah. Some of our Laker fans like that follow us on Twitter.
Than, I think it was only for like a year or two.
A year, but
it was just a year. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But he, you know, like he was a part that brought, he always says, hey, listen, I brought Kwame because of trade. And then Kwame got you Kwame house. He always has a little joke about it. But I asked him because there are Laker fans that follow us. They're like, wait, Caron was a Laker. I asked him like, dude, you played for a lot of teams and you're affiliated with a lot of teams. Why is it so special? Especially since he has a different outlook than James. James only played for one team. All James knows is Lakers. And Caron said it that night, like when you are a basketball historian and you love this game and you grow up and you put on that Laker jersey, and this is why I loved having him have this platform to say it. There is just, there's nothing like it. And when you become a part of a Laker family, you just feel it forever. And he just happened to become best friends with Kobe Bryant along the way, you know, like all those things. So for him, he felt this beautiful joy and pride. And I just love that because he didn't play in a Laker uniform for 10 years, like the guys I mentioned before. So I don't know. I just, it's hard to pick just one, but if he made me, man, I feel like Big Game James, I just saw something in his eye that night, guys, that it just showed me how special it was. And someone I didn't talk to him, but I know, pal. I know Pal embraced this title. I just know it.
Virtual fan, right? He showed up as a virtual fan.
Pal.
God bless Pal. I hope he comes
back.
Is there
a better guy in the world, man?
Nope.
I don't think there is. So before we get out of here, all right. We could stick around forever. We went for an hour and a half the other day. No.
He's got to go to bed.
I just got to put my brain back together. That's all.
Come on. Have you slept? This isn't my last question, but have you slept yet?
I have slept. I'm just in mostly a catatonic state. I'm doing my best. So,
you're sleeping on your feet. Could somebody walk by and do Pete tipping?
You probably could. You could. Yeah.
Pete, you know what's so cool, man, about your timeline the last 24 hours or so, because I don't know about you guys, but when I was, God, it started when I was a kid, and it's funny, like it's gone all the way through adulthood, which might be weird. I love watching the celebrations of teams. And I'm always looking for that footage from the past to the present. And even like, there's always a sadness with March Madness. Even I always tell my daughters, because I always feel a little something for the team that lost. I lost a title game in college, UCLA. So there's always like a little bit of like, oh man, I feel for them. But let me see the winning locker room. And Pete, your footage, those videos that you were putting out, it's that see unless you're literally right there. Dude, those get, man, me. So I can't imagine how much fun having that stuff.
Man, and just to go through all, because I can't post everything, you know, and so I feel like this year I have gone through the ultimate fan experience, right? just like, you know how sometimes they'll sell, like, you know, you get a camp for a week and you get to learn how to hit a curveball against all these Major League Baseball Hall of Famers for $50,000, right? Ahead, right? They got those type of things. I felt like I went through the best version of that for basketball that anyone's ever gone through, and they're paying me to do it, you know? So man, I'm sitting there with a few of my buddies, when I got hired by the team, got me some Blue Label and some, and it's almost all the way gone. And, and I'm sitting there and they got my name on it and it said Pete Zayas, Los Angeles Lakers, 6/15/20, which is when I was hired. And I'm sitting there with my Blue Label watching this footage that like a handful of people have, watching them in the locker room, all of the little interactions, and just like, man, this team and this organization, we talked about the family aspect of it. And this goes into like Quran, right? And why it's special, why this team of all of the teams that he played for in his NBA career, why he feels an attachment here is that whole family mentality. It's a real thing, man. And to be embraced and working together with other people in a way where, like, I always knew it when I was on the outside of the organization, the Lakers were a family organization, but from the Lakers organization to Spectrum, to all of the people kind of in the Lakers galaxy, it's really this incredible group. It's not like nothing I've ever been a part of before. And it is so gratifying. Obviously it's fun and all of that, but just there's this deep sense of belonging of I am a very, very small part of this, along with a lot of other people who are, yeah, of which you two guys are part of that too, right? Part of this ecosystem of the Lakers. And we all had a little part in making this happen, yeah, man. And your guys' professionalism over the lean years of putting out such a kick-ass product. I really hope that you take the time to step back and just really soak this all in, man, because you help keep Laker fans engaged, you know, every night through thick and thin. And it means a lot, man. I hope you're enjoying this.
Yeah, that means a lot, man. Thank you so much for that. Really cool, Pete.
You've grown up a Laker fan. You're from Southern California. Yeah. You've been, yep, you know, you make sure to remind people as often as you can. I think it's really cool. You're a lifelong Laker fan. You're upfront about it. And, two things. One, I consider this the best, or not the best, but my favorite Lakers team of all time, just given everything that they had to go through and then the way that they played and the way that they came together. It's my favorite. You've been paying attention to the team longer than I have, though. So I'm interested in if you'd agree. And then if we have time, I've always admired that you're upfront about, I am a Lakers fan. These are the biases that I hold because I am a Lakers, yeah, fan. And like, just deal with it. This is my analysis is going to come from this standpoint. Whereas I think when you pay attention to some of the analysis from people who claim objectivity, you can also kind of see pretty clearly through their own biases or find their own biases. So yeah, we'll start with if this is your favorite team and then we'll move on to the media aspect of this if we have time.
Yeah. Cause I'm curious. I wanted to ask you guys a question about the media aspect of things. So for me, I break it up into groups, man. It's hard to pick a favorite. 87 for some reason always jumped out for me because I'm in high school and it was beating the Celtics. And even though we beat them in 85, there was something about beating them in 87 that was so special. The Magic Hook. I have so many vivid memories of it. I fell in love more than any other team in Laker history that those early 2000 teams, because I think I was a young adult at that time, going to all the games. There's this connection that I had with that Shaq and Kobe group. 2009-10 guys is really special on a different level because I'm covering the team. Luke, Farmar, guys were my like good friends at the time. You know, we're hanging out and I'm with them, mm-hmm, and I'm on the road in Boston. I'm in the locker room celebrating. You know, Patrick O'Neal had the game 7 duties, so I'm off that night. So I'm partying. I go into the locker room, and I posted the picture recently. Like, I went into a side room with Luke. I got Larry O'Brien, a bottle of whiskey, D. Fish, Kobe, and Vanessa. I don't know how better.
Man, doesn't get better than that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so that was pretty incredible. This team I put with all those because of how special they were, a team and a family beyond anything I think we all could have even imagined. So I put them right up there with my favorites of all time. Yeah. I would be so upset with you if you're making me pick a favorite film.
Yeah. It's like, pick your favorite kid, man. Like, yeah.
You know what though?
Why we got to rank them, man. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'd have to go with the ones where I was there. 09, yeah. 10. Felt a little more, but this one's going to be right there with him. And I do have a question about the media part of it before you guys ask me. I always have been upfront about where I'm from and what my teams are, especially the Lakers. Like, hey, yes, it is a dream come true. And it's funny how I still have tried to remain professional when they're not
well, I try to do it because Pete, you'll always say that's what Chick did too. So
yep.
For me, it's funny, like Big Game James calls me out after we beat Denver and we're going to the finals. And he's like, Geeter, get out of here and dance. Like, what are you supposed to do? And Big Game says, go dance. So I'm like doing the running man. Big Game, we've been running for a while. And it goes viral. And there's people that are so like, and I'm not going to bring up their names, but like people I know, man, like in the media here in this town and some other people were like, oh yeah, nice professionalism. So that's why I went on the air and was like, and for those of you that don't think we're being professional, we don't care, because I am being professional, but I also have I'm a person and I'm allowed to have fun. Because, by the way, anyone can sit up in my seat and do what I do. But I feel like I have to be me to be successful at that job, guys. I'm not going to change because everyone says, oh, you have to be so professional. I'm going to say how I feel. I'm going to wear my emotions on my sleeve. And when I'm asked to dance by a Hall of Famer, I'm going to fucking dance.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I hope that's okay. But like you guys would tell me if it wasn't, I think, you know,
well, obviously we come from different perspective, right? Where that's embraced out of the gate. I actually think the idea of impartiality is a myth.
Stupid,
right? Like the idea that, so all that says is that you don't care. And I think caring is like an essential ingredient. Now in that, like, because when things don't go well, we can be as critical as anybody, right? And it's just something where our investment in how it goes actually causes us to pay more attention. I would love to watch whoever told you nice professionalism or whatever. I would love to watch them, because I have watched them at games from press row and seen how much they are looking at their laptop or their phone versus how much they are looking at the game. If you are impartial or whatever bullshit that is, right? If you are impartial and really invested in the sport and in covering it, and you want to talk your shit about that, I don't agree with you, but I can at least respect where you're coming from. But if you are not locked in and as passionate about it as we are, and so if your passion is about the writing or the work or whatever it is, but you really go at it, and those are actions, Geeter. Those are not your status, whatever outlet you're employed by. That's like, no, I remember when we did one of those bloggers nights, I was watching that Houston game and I'm on the, and I'm like focused on the game. And one of the people who was showing us around, I don't remember his name, was like, dude, you're in a studio and you're watching the game. You know, like you're in this TV studio. Like, why aren't you? I'm like, because the game is on, you know, like that's hello. Right. And it's just a matter of like, what do you prioritize? So yeah, man, like go dance with Big Game. Just my attitude is be honest about where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And people can decide from that point, whether or not you're worth taking seriously or not. Is my lens colored by Lakers bias? Of course it is. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm letting you know up front, so that you can listen to me and my history, my track record, and be like, is this a person worth listening to or not? Let people decide by being upfront with your intentions.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. And Anthony, you know, it's funny because people, you know, listen, Clipper fans, I get it. Like, they don't like me. I go at them. But you know what,
all man? Six of them can get over it. I promise. They'll figure it out.
But here's the deal. I also sit there on TV and tell you what a good team you have. Mm-hmm. I know Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics are good. I'm subjective when it comes to that, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to heckle you or have fun about it. Yeah. But that's the thing. They're so bitter on the other side. They can't, it's a sham title. It doesn't count. It's an asterisk. I would never say that about their titles.
They would never say that about their titles either, by the way. Yeah. They did the same thing we just did. Come on. Yeah.
I think what's important, because again, I think, you know, the brain and the heart are connected. There's no way to disconnect those things, and we aren't standing vertically if we try. And so if what you've experienced as a human being is going to paint whatever it is that you're seeing and the observations you're going to make about what you're seeing, then of course you have to acknowledge that. And of course I'm going to see something differently than even you, Pete. Your experiences are different than mine. You and I can be watching the same exact game and we can walk away with it with completely different observations on Rajon Rondo, for example.
That's the fun of it. That's the fun of it. Like, all I want in media coverage is for people to care about the actual basketball and the content, yeah. right? You can come up with a totally different outcome or conclusion mm-hmm. that I came up with. As long as you give a
you
shit, that's all I want. And there is a profound lack of give a shit and way too much of the NBA coverage about the actual basketball.
You and Tim had a really cool back and forth heading into that Houston series where you thought that the Lakers he thought they should go big and you thought they should go quote unquote small. Mm-hmm. Right. And you guys both put a ton of thought into it. You guys both obviously deeply care about the Lakers. You came to different conclusions and it's not like there was hard feelings there. That was a different conclusion
that's great.
That we came to. And
that's
and,
great.
And I think like the point that you were making is supremely important here. There has to be a foundational understanding about the topic that we're conversing about. In this case, it's the NBA. Yes, my Lakers fan biases are going to kind of sway the way that I look at the Boston Celtics, the way that I look at the Clippers. But I'm still going to acknowledge, yeah, Kawhi Leonard's pretty special.
He's pretty special.
You know, that's all that, like, and I think, you know, homerism, I want more of it, quite frankly, as long as we're honest when we're doing it. I enjoy homerism because it's us being honest about who we are and what we're covering. It's this like, oh no, I am a journalist and therefore I have no feeling whatsoever. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, man.
Please. I'm so glad you guys are saying this because Trudell, John Ireland, Billy Mack, we all talk, we all feel the same way. Sure. We want our team to win. You know, Billy and John grew up just like I did, you know, diehards, and Trudell is more invested in this team than anyone. So mm-hmm. Never doubt his loyalty, but I'll just share this with you guys, because at the same time, there are 2 days, and this isn't to like, it's not a pat on the back. It's just me sharing the two most incredible days I've ever had on air they were the worst days ever. But ironically, me being a fan all those years, it got me through. It was the first year of our network. It's when Dr. Buss died. Mm. And I was the only one in town. It was All-Star weekend. My boss called me in. I'm on air for 3.5-4 hours, kind of by myself, but all the people that were calling in, Kareem, AC Green, Byron, James, Kurt Rambis, I knew their history because they were my team. So on the fly, I have all the information. It's in my head for life.
Yes, Sam, that's a great way of putting it, Gator, yeah. Is that we've got this encyclopedia of Lakers knowledge and because we've lived it.
Yeah. Guys. It got me through that day. And fast forward to January 26th, when I'm on the couch with my oldest daughter, Millie, my wife, Jess, and Big Game calls. And I thought it was weird on a Sunday that he would call. And I answer the phone because we were off that day. And he says, tell me it's not true. I'm like, what are you talking about? Finally able to share it with me. I hang up the phone. I'm looking on TMZ. And all of a sudden, our boss, AJ, texts and said, this is not a drill. Get in. I get in there and it's the same kind of thing, man. Like I'm putting my tie on. He moves me right into the news set. We have Spectrum News One and I'm on there and there's no like, and I'm on for 45 straight minutes. And then I move right into the studio and there's Rob and Allie and Brez is on the plane coming back. And I hug Rob and we're on and it's 4 hours of Lakers and Kobe and all that stuff, Pete and Anthony, all the inside, everything you've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're not invested and you're not passionate, and you're not a fan, I don't know how we all get through that time. So yeah. it ended up being the biggest thing for me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it really, you know, to actually kind of put a bow on this, we've talked a ton about the family aspect of not just the Lakers organization, but but Lakers Twitter, Lakers fandom, you know, the idea of us all as a family rooting for this, you know, as just mind-numbingly tough as losing Kobe was, it really brought you back to, it really reminded you, no, we are a family. We do get through stuff like this together. We do get through COVID together. We do get through all of those other tough times together, so that when we come out the other end and we see that we actually reached the light at the end of the tunnel with the championship that was this last one, it makes it, you know, we all get to celebrate that together too. So
no doubt.
Peter, this was an absolute blast. I had so much fun doing this with you. Congratulations on this championship and all the success that Spectrum has had with you as the face of it. I greatly appreciate what you've done in these last eight years for us, the show and all of that stuff. And I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much for your support, Gator. You mean a lot to us, man.
Hey, Pete, thank you. And Anthony, and to, you know, all you guys, hey, you know, Harrison, Trevor, Darius, you know, all the guys, you guys are, you know, I consider you friends. I consider you, you know, consider you part of my Laker fam. So thank you so much for always being supportive as well. And let's do it again next year, fellas. Let's do it.
That's
again.
Right. That whole thing you said about like not doing it in front of the fans and feeling like that was missing. That's why we got to have the sequel.
Yeah, I agree.
Got to have a sequel. Pete's got to get some sleep. Anthony, daughter is absolutely gorgeous. Thank you. Keep going, buddy. Keep going. Let's keep this going.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast and this week's episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you on Monday.